Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
To get underway here at the formerly known Gresty Road, and we are underway. It's Drew Alexander attack immediately down the chart, right hand side. Rocks into the box. It's an instant shot from Andrew. Good save from Anderson with a follow up from Finney. Puts the home side in front. Corner's taken and it's headed in. Came looking for the ball, got nowhere near it, and an easy header for Mandarin to put the home side 2-0 up just before half time. But that Burstow does well to win it back for Charlton. Finds Dobson. Dobson, little touch into Washington. Can he finish? Washington shot saved away by Rogers, and Burstow with a header has got a goal back for Charlton. He kept his run going, Burstow. Good save, you have to say, from Richards from the initial Washington shot. But Burstow was on hand to head it over the keeper and give Charlton a lifeline back in the game. So 6 minutes, in fact, consternation to the crew pitch and the fans. Sends the ball into the box. Burstow's there, little chest control, back to Lee, takes the shot.
Get in!
Not an equalise! Possibly the last kick in the game.
No!
Put his flag up, but he has.
How is that an offside? How is that offside?
I have no idea what's been given here. But the official down here, who sort of been a bit of a liability all game, has just put his flag up to deny possibly Charlton an equalising goal. Tries to send it forward, it's blocked away, and now the referee blows.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at last night's controversial defeat up at Crewe Alexandra, and of course ahead to Saturday's trip to Cheltenham Town. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Still fuming about last night.
Yeah, I mean, the disallowed goal, the performance, bit of both.
Both those, the referee, the fact we were all right for first 20 minutes, just all of it annoyed me.
Yeah, well, excellent. That's a good grounding for a show. We've been quite an annoyed show recently, haven't we? And also joining us in shared annoyance is Mr. Lewis Cathead. In Luke?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Similar to Tom, really. Disappointed after yesterday.
Annoyed levels through the roof.
Just a bit, yeah. Just so frustrating.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. So I don't know, I took a sip of tea halfway through my sentence. I've never done that before. So on this evening's show, we, as I said, we'll look back at that defeat against Crewe last night. We've just heard the goals from it. We'll discuss some of the finer moments, some of the more controversial moments as well. Of course, we're going to hear from the Charlton manager, Johnny Jackson, his thoughts after the game. The Addicts falling, of course, to a third straight defeat in the league. Got some tweets and emails as well. Plenty of people with stuff who want to get it off their chest. Talk a little bit about the transfer window as well. Not a great deal of news just yet. And then we will focus on Saturday's trip to Cheltenham Town. New ground for a lot of people. Looking forward to getting down there. Hopefully just for the day out, if not for the revival of our playoff hopes. So we'll look ahead to that one as well. So, Tom, I mean, we just heard everything about last night's game, the performance, the goal, the controversial moment at the end. It's up to you, really. Where do you want to start? I guess we should probably talk about the performance before we get into the controversy, because the performance is what colours the entire evening for us. And even though we nearly nicked a point at the end, and I think for all the frustrations last night, I could see a point being a fair result for what we did in the start and towards the end, but that shouldn't be the case when we go away to a relegation threatened side like Crewe. We should be, if we're a playoff chasing team, which I think it's clear we're not now, unfortunately, we should be doing a lot better.
Totally. Yeah, I think a draw would have papered over some cracks last night. Part of the reason, as I said at the start, I'm so frustrated is because for those opening 25 minutes, we look very bright. And we've looked that way in recent games. And it's been the same old story that we just cannot score goals. I thought we dominated possession. We dominated sort of areas of the pitch. But in that final third, we were creating absolutely nothing. So I don't want people to think that I felt we deserved more from that, because the crosses, the final ball, anything around the area was nowhere near good enough. But our link-up play and our movement and all of that was fine. And then when they scored, what concerned me most about last night was when they did get their goal, it felt like an Adkins performance where the confidence just drained. We lost our shape. We lost our heads. You could see that in the way the game became a bit aggressive in that second half in particular. And we just looked like we didn't know what we were doing anymore. And you're right, towards the end, we rallied a little bit. And the game obviously opened up and we got one goal to try and get back in it. But as I say, if we had scored that goal at the end, I think it would have been not only probably unfair on Crewe, or maybe I don't think we deserved it, but also I don't think that would have been good enough anyway, because as we said on Sunday's show, we expect to go there and win, and we haven't done that. So there are many reasons why I've said for a few weeks I don't think we'll make the playoffs, and I think last night's performance kind of proved that to be the case, unfortunately.
Now, I mean, the main talking point of full time, despite the performance and despite everything that went wrong for Charlton last night, was, of course, this bizarre disallowed goal. Lewis, it was brilliantly chested down. It was a ball forward from Morgan, brilliantly chested down by Burstow into the path of Elliot Lees. His shot's taken a little touch, looped over the goalkeeper, in off the crossbar. Everyone's going wild, including me, for a solid 5 or 6 seconds before the line, though, on the near side decides there's an infringement. And then we get stuck into this bizarre, almost like a VAR situation where no one knows what's going on. The officials are taking 3 minutes to make a decision, but eventually they give the offside. Lewis, your views, offside or onside? Was Jonathan Lico in the eye line of the goalkeeper?
It's such a difficult one to call, isn't it? Because he probably doesn't really interfere, but when you watch it back a few times, I mean, I was watching it in real time, and at that point you're up in arms wondering what possibly it could have been disallowed for. It was a great strike in off the crossbar. The keeper, if he makes the effort to jump, he's not getting it anyway, to be honest, considering his positioning. Lecco, yeah, he is there. Is he infringing him? I'm not sure. He's kind of just to the side of him, isn't he? In the side that he probably would have dived if he was to try and make the save. So it's difficult. I mean, for me, the frustrating part of it is that you get yourself in this unnecessary debate on the touchline between linesman and referee. And if it's taken officials, 3+ minutes to make a decision and over go through something in such detail to try and come to a conclusion, it just seems like it's not clear and obvious. And for me, I mean, watching it in real time, I don't see an infringement. I don't think he is in the line of sight. But when you slow it down, maybe you could argue that he is ever so slightly. But is he actually involved in the play? I don't know. It's one of those difficult ones, really, and it's one that's gone against us on this occasion. And like Tom said, I think the biggest issue here really is just that if we had got that equaliser, it would have just been papering over some severely large cracks, because the performance overall didn't warrant a point. You know, the first 20 minutes we were okay, but apart from that, I was very disappointed with how we performed. So, yes, we might want to feel hard done by that goal being chalked off, but at the end of the day, we didn't really deserve to get anything out of that game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, parts of that performance in the second half were very reminiscent of a severely large crack, Tom. But, I mean, your view on the disallowed goal, you can see why. I mean, Jacko, we'll hear his thoughts on it later. I mean, the process of the decision-making is confusing as well, because the fact that referee Robert Lewis spent so long speaking to his assistant and Lewis had given the goal in the first place, where he would have had the view sort of straight on to decide if Lico was in the eye line of the keeper. And obviously the lino on that far side would have had the view as to whether he was in the offside position, which supposedly is correct. To be fair, I haven't seen either way, but you'd have to assume it is correct. I mean, are you frustrated with how it came about and what the decision was?
Yeah, I am. Last night, you know, emotions in the air and everything, and off the back of the performance where I was still pretty angry, I was furious at the decision and totally blaming the ref. In the cold light of day to day, I'm still pretty similar. What I'll admit is I don't know the rule to the law, the law to the letter of it, but I don't know that many people who do. I think what annoyed me is that, and I said this to somebody on Twitter last night, I'm pretty sure that if it was Lecco in front of the goalkeeper, I reckon he could have picked the goalkeeper up and thrown him towards the ball, and he still wouldn't have got there. It looked like it was so far away that I don't see Lecco making any difference. Now, that might not matter because Lecco's in an offside position, and if that's what the law says, then fair enough. But it just, to me, seemed like that deflection has taken it so far away from the keeper that it doesn't matter who's around him, it doesn't matter what they're doing, it doesn't matter if they put a little trampoline out for him. He's not getting to that ball, as far as I can tell. So the frustration there was, I don't see that it's had any impact in the game. Now, as I say, if the law says that is doesn't matter, then fair enough. You hold your hands up and you say it's offside. And in that case, I'm angry at the law, I guess, because I don't feel that that is fair. But then, as you say, the farce around how it was organised and how it was agreed and decided upon was just mad, because I'm sure we're about to talk about, you had a fan on the pitch pushing players. You had him and his lino talking for ages. You had arguments across the players. The crew players were pretty sure they'd conceded by their reaction to the goal. It was only when they saw the flag up, they thought, oh yeah, well, let's try and claim something here. And you couldn't really be sure whether it was given for eye line or offside or a foul or what. And it was just very, very unclear. So, just a bit of a farce, a bit in keeping with League One referees. How Tell kept it together as well as he did, I have no idea. It was just a frustrating end to a horrible evening of football, really.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of keeping it together, I think you can hear a bit on the commentary highlights we played at the top of the crew fans sort of turning around and clapping towards Terry, but I don't think they got the treatment that I got slightly further down the bench, where there was some more ferocious crew fans who, you know, when we equalised, I was giving it big licks on my little commentary and had absolutely no idea being ruled out. Into about five teenagers in the row in front turned around and started flicking the V's and chewing in my face and giving me the old shuffle, whatever you want to call it. It was humiliating because, oh man, I just wanted the ground to swallow me up being in the midst of the home end when I was effectively celebrating a last minute equaliser and it gets taken away from us. So we were talking about farce. Let's talk about, Lewis, the goals that we conceded. I mean, Tom mentioned there that even if the crew Alexandra goalkeeper, Dave Richards, had a trampoline in his six-yard box, then he wouldn't have saved the Elliot Lee non-equaliser. I think there was a trampoline in that six-yard box when Stephen Henderson came for the second goal of the corner, because he went flying absolutely nowhere near the ball.
Yeah, it was a strange one. Very strange decision from him, and a bit of a shame, really, because I think he's performed quite well of late. I was impressed with him at the weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I'll give him Saturday, but I want to step in here, and I think he got away with a few little fumbles like we saw in the first goal yesterday at Gateshead, and everyone said he played well because he made those two good saves when there was that scramble near the end, but he got away with some palming it straight out into the middle, and he got punished for the first one last night.
Yeah, he did. You know, disappointing. I think he'd like to, really, you'd like your keeper to hold it, especially the first goal, but, you know, it's rebounded and Finney for them has managed to react quickest and tap it home and find ourselves 1-0 down probably at that point against the run of play. And then as soon as that goal goes in, the wheels come off a little bit, and I think we struggled to deal with Chris Porter a little bit. It seemed to cause a bit of a nuisance, and then, you know, we give away that corner when really just before then, you know, it was probably a penalty. If you look at it back, that's Henderson coming out to claim the ball. Does he catch him? And it could it be a penalty? You know, you'd argue that could have been a decision that was made against us there as well. But, you know, from their side, they won't feel too hard done by because they scored straight from the corner. And yeah, it's a disappointing goalkeeping decision from Stephen Henderson. And it is a shame because he's a player I really like. You know, he's someone with good experience, and I think you'd probably expect him to maybe think a little bit more with those decisions.
And you mentioned already, Tom, it's frustrating the way the goals came about because we had started quite well. And also when you think about it, I would say for all the frustrations we've had in that we've not been scoring a lot of goals recently, the fact that we hadn't been conceding too many, the odd one here and there, and you know, losing games 1-0 recently has been a frustration. But I mean, it's not the end of the world, but the fact that we gave away two really sloppy goals in quick succession, especially the time in the second one just before half time, doesn't bode well when that's been one of our strengths recently.
Yeah, they were both just so sloppy, as Lewis has just said, and I like to think that was just a one-off. I would like to think that by the weekend, Jacko will have sorted that out, because that is something you can work on. I wonder throughout the team, really, and this goes to the defence as well, whether there's just enough pressure on the people starting in those starting 11 places, because he hasn't rotated a huge amount, and I think we're all quite pleased that he hadn't, because of the amount that Adkins was chopping and changing players all the time and trying to find his best formation. But I just worry if, you know, came up last night, the likes of Elliot Lee, who I didn't think performed well yesterday, DJ, who's not performed well for the past few weeks now, have we really got the strength in depth for players to come in and replace them and hit the ground running? I remember having this debate with you and Mark on one of the shows pre-Christmas as well. And if we haven't, then those players just get a little bit comfortable, just drop off by 2-3%. And unfortunately, that's enough to, whether it's a lapse in concentration or whatever, to cause these goals. So you'd hope with Ryan Innes coming back, with Sam Lavelle getting some minutes in that defence, that suddenly players will realise they're playing for their place again, and hopefully we'll start to shore things up. We've still got Clare playing in a back three, and I know that's not always the position he maybe prefers to play in. So there's definitely the opportunity here for Jacko to drop a few and give other players a chance. But yeah, I'm less concerned about the defence, because I think that was just hopefully a bit of a blip. It's at the other end where I'm more concerned now, because that's a little while now we've gone without scoring, and with no kind of end date in sight for Jaden, you start to wonder kind of where the goals are coming from. Obviously, Burstow got his one last night, and again, as I said last week, you just don't want him to be relied upon, because it's not fair on such a young man.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you're talking about players coming in and taking their chance, that there is one in the form of Mason Burstow. You know, excellent sort of follow-up yesterday, good header over the goalkeeper, first EFL goal for the young man. Obviously, not quite in the circumstances that he wanted, but, you know, again, we'll hear it in the interview shortly, but Jacko suggested he was even umming and ahhing about starting him. I have my reservations, because we spoke about the Carl and Grant sort of comparisons, a young player thrown in too soon. But to be fair, I don't think he could be much worse than anyone else has been recently, because without the first choice front two playing together, we don't really look like a cohesive unit up top at the moment.
No, and that's the issue. It's, you know, losing Jaden, as Tom says, is a real kick in the teeth. And it's the same, I feel like, when you lose either one of Jaden or Connor, they both complement each other so much when they play as a partnership. So when you remove one of them, the other sort of, their game severely decreases. And, you know, Connor worked hard last night. He's come off the back of a little bit of a hamstring niggle, so you don't know how fit he was. But he always works very hard. But I just feel like Jaden complements him with the way that he plays, and vice versa. So obviously, we don't know the latest with Jaden and how long he's going to be out for, but you'd assume you've got to prepare for it to be a little while yet. So when you're looking at the options we do have, you know, Josh Davison maybe hasn't taken his chance this season, wasn't on the bench yesterday, which surprised me a little bit. And then it falls to Mason Burstow, who for me has been outstanding in the opportunities he's been given. But again, very, very conscious that he's still very young. You know, he's only really come through and onto the picture this season. He's done very well at the other levels, but to come through at this, you know, especially at the moment where it's a bit of a slog, because we're maybe a bit low on confidence. We're not getting the results that we want. We're performing okay, but we're not getting what we want out of games. And then the pressure of putting the goals away at the moment, which is our biggest struggle, is falling on the shoulders of a young man like Mason Burstow. And I do have my reservations about putting him in at the deep end, like you said, following on from what happened with Carlin and maybe even Joe Piggott and others as well before that. And it can be a little bit too much and overwhelming. And I think that we need to do better and not put ourselves in this position, because it seems to be something that happens a lot. And for me, the priority, you know, in this window, especially, we have to get somebody in that can help take some of the strain off of the likes of Connor and now the likes of Mason as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, so other mistakes that were in there. I mean, we've spoken about Hendo. I think a couple of penalty shouts, one against Akinfenwo wasn't there, Tom. I mean, these little errors. We gave the ball away inside our own half quite a few times as well. All of these will add up to the concern that we are now in a rut. Three games without a win in the league, losing all of them by a single goal, which I guess is something to cling on to. But the performance is arguably getting worse than better. And the confidence levels seem looking low. So obviously this is going to be Jacko's first real test now as his sort of permanent tenures started to take place. You know, he came in at a difficult time, but he gave them a fillip. And I asked him, we'll hear it again very shortly, how he now turns this around. Tom, if you were the manager, what would be your number one priority between now and Saturday?
For me, I think there's two things. I think clearly confidence does appear low. I don't really understand why that is the case, because yes, the league form over the past, it's been a little while time-wise, but it hasn't been a huge amount of games, has obviously not been great. It wasn't that long ago we did that back-to-back Ipswich and Cambridge, and I know Ipswich weren't up to much, but Cambridge was a difficult game that we came through, and it wasn't a million miles ago. And obviously we've had the cup wins in the Papa John's and the performance, which I don't think we should, you know, look down on at all against Norwich, which was very good. So there's been positives in performance, but I do wonder if confidence is low. So I'd be looking for a way to try and pick that up and take some of the heat off the players. And as I said a little bit earlier, I think he needs to rotate a few. I thought Albie came on and did very well yesterday. I thought Mason was brilliant when he came on. As I say, I don't want to rely on him. Innes is obviously waiting in the wings for a defensive start. So there are players that you can bring in and replace. It's just about whether they can pick up the speed. So I wonder if some of them just need a little bit of a wake-up call by being dropped. And I don't think there's any harm in that. As you say, we haven't won for a little while in the league. So Jacko's kind of, he's got almost not exactly a free hit, but he might as well give it a go, because then at least he can say he's tried something. And obviously you don't want to get into an Adkins where you're doing that every single week. But I just wonder if it just needs a little bit of a shake-up, because however improved we have been under Johnny Jackson, we can't forget how bad they were at the start of the season as well. And, you know, he's definitely improved things, that's clear. They're clearly playing for him, which is good. But this is a group of players who've shown they can put out a pretty poor performance on their day. And you don't want them to slip back into that for too long, because we are still kind of looking over our shoulder. And so he needs to find a way to just shake that out of them, because on our day, we can go and beat the likes of Sunderland as well. So it's just a really, really funny side this year. And yeah, hopefully, I still am not panicking. I still think he's the man to turn it around, but we need to do it quickly.
Yeah, 6 points above the relegation zone. And Morecambe, who sit fourth bottom, have a game in hand. Charlton still remain 14 points shy of the top six. I think realistically, I think we said a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately, after those two defeats before last night, is probably already over, and that would have taken an unbelievable miracle for the Addicts to get into the playoff places. Right, let's hear what Johnny Jackson made of last night's game. Straight away, I asked him to address the most controversial moment, the goal that was disallowed for Elliot Lee.
Linesman said that Lico was in the goalkeeper's line of sight or something, so that's the reason that he disallowed it. I don't think he would have saved it if there was no one there. Well, he wouldn't have saved it. It looped over, went over his head and in off the bar, and he was trying his best to save it, so he saw it all the way. But that was the reason they gave.
Do you think Jonathan was interfering or in his line of sight?
He was next to him, but that's what I'm saying to you. I thought the keeper saw it, because he tried to save it. He tried to keep it out. He saw the shot all the way, but it looped over his head. It wasn't like he couldn't see it coming. It went over the top of him. So Don't really know how Nico's blocked his sight, if it's gone over the top of him, to be honest.
Has the referee given any explanation as to why it took so long for them to come to a decision as well?
No.
Nothing on that?
No.
I mean, overall, what did you make of the game? A late rally, I guess?
I feel like I'm just saying the same things over and over now. Broken record, like we're getting chances in every game. Thought we started the game really well, moved the ball, got into sort of areas that we worked on all week. It's just that final bit, isn't it? It's that final bit. It's the final pass, final cross, final shot that just we're not putting away. We've had so many chances again. Just watched them back there and enough chances to win a game. Said the same thing Sunday, said the same thing a week ago against 10 days ago against Wickham. So something's wrong. Personal responsibility to put the ball in the goal or to execute the final pass, final cross, whatever it is. It's just got to be better.
And what do you think is the next stage to address that? Because it wasn't a problem that you were having sort of at the start of your reign.
Yeah, we was being more clinical then. I don't know, we just I have to speak to my players and you know, get into the psyche of that. Like, why are we not being clinical? Why we lost that little bit of cutting edge? It's not through. I'm saying we're still doing the right things from box to box. It's just in that last little bit that we're not putting our way. And you know, that has to come down to personal responsibility of the players. They've got to look to themselves and say, what do they need to do better? I have to ask myself, how can I improve it? We work on it. We work on it all the time, but obviously, you know, we have to continue to work on it.
Obviously, it's great to see Mason get his first league goal. He's been having these cameos. Obviously, he got to start on Sunday as well, and I think he's deserved that for how hard he's worked since he's come into the side.
Absolutely, yeah. Probably the one positive from the evening. Brilliant that the young lad's come on, got his first league goal. You know that he can do that. The boy can finish. Yeah, he's got a good attitude. He puts himself about. So. You know, no hesitation in their moments to throw him on. You know, if you do need a goal. I mean, I considered starting him. I just think from Sunday to Wednesday, with the shift that he put in against Norwich and the fact that he was cramping up, it was probably too much of an ask to start him again. But again, he's come and had an impact from the bench.
So yeah, I think at the other end, you know, Charlton haven't been conceding many goals. So you're probably a little bit frustrated with the manner of the two today.
Poor goals. One's a set piece that we just don't deal with. So that's poor to take, and you know, the first one sort of out of nothing really. Maybe their first attack, second attack maybe, but you know, they certainly hadn't had much, and then they get a goal out of nothing when I felt we'd certainly been in the ascendancy in the game. So tough one to take.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In momentarily, tries a difficult ball, finds Gilby, super work, Gilby turns inside, can he finish? Yes he can! Super goal from Charlton, just when you thought that ball from Lee was too complicated, too difficult, he picks out Alex Gilby, he does superbly well to hold his man off, and drills it to the right hand side, his right hand side, gives Wharton no chance at all, and Charlton surely now put a game to bed.
Yeah. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're going to be looking ahead to the Cheltenham game shortly, but we still got some bits and pieces to underline, I guess, from the defeat up at Crewe last night. As I said, Lewis, I asked Jacko about what he will do to address the issues that are coming up now in terms of, you know, not taking care inside the final third. I think we've agreed that we've been okay in between the boxes. Gave the ball away a couple of times in a half yesterday, but defensively we were poor yesterday, and in the final third we were poor yesterday. I did cling on to something, because before the game I was thinking, you know, part of our problem, obviously we all know that our midfielders aren't scoring enough goals, and I did cling on to the fact that actually we saw the likes of Elliot Lee and Alex Gilby having chances inside the six-yard box yesterday in the first half. You know, they didn't come anywhere near to taking them, unfortunately. But I'm trying to think, well, if that's one of the tiny things we can cling on to that might be a slight improvement, that they're getting into those areas now, which I don't think they have been before. So, I mean, Jacko has to address these problems, and I'm just hoping that that will be step one of it, that he's already got them getting further up the pitch.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, because at the moment, as we've said, you know, the load on the strikers to get the goals is very high, and we're missing our top scorer in Jaden Stockley. So the weight of that responsibility has to be shared, and it will fall back into those midfielders, and someone like Johnny Jackson as well, who is a goal scoring midfielder in his time, you know, especially with us, he scored, you know, very, you know, quite a bit on quite a few, most of the seasons he played for us, he scored quite a high tally. So He knows what it takes to get forward and score goals. And I imagine he's going to be trying to drum some of that into the likes of Elliot Lee and Alex Gilby, and maybe not so much Dobson because he's a little bit more defensive-minded, but definitely Lee and Gilby. You know, and Albie coming on yesterday as well. He looks a little bit more threatening going forward, which was good to see because he's not really been in and around the picture recently. So it was nice to see Albie come on and make a bit of a difference in that spell at the end. It's something we have to do, isn't it? You know, we have to try and share that load because, as I said already, we're putting the pressure of scoring the goals and putting the chances away on the shoulders of Connor Washington and, you know, a young kid in Mason Burstow. You know, Leko doesn't really do it for me as a forward when he's been up there up top. He's not really done it for me. I think he's more effective out wide and taking people on. I think he takes too many touches and can just be a little bit clumsy when playing centrally, which doesn't help because people just close him down. And we're not really seeing much input in terms of goals from DJ, but he's playing in a more wing-back position, which maybe is sitting him a little bit more defensively, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's something we have to address, obviously, because we're not scoring. What, we scored one goal in our last three league games, which is not good. And obviously three consecutive defeats is not great after the run that we had when Jacko first came in as caretaker. And you know, it's something we need to address, and we're in a window now, and although the season may be sort of over, we still need to kind of half be prepared to invest and try and keep ourselves away from the drop zone, because 6 points isn't a huge gap, and it's something we need to be aware of.
All right, let's have a look at a few of the messages that came in this afternoon. Rachel says, not a lot to love about last night. Great to see Burstow get his first league goal for us, and I thought that Albie Morgan made a positive impact. Hoping to see a bit of a change to the squad for Saturday. The team looks tired. I'm not going to mention the officials. Simon says, there seems to be a lot of talk about strengthening up front, but where is the challenge with the defence? Maybe when Fainwell and Innes are back, are in the back line, it may no longer be an issue. Also, is there an issue with Leko and him trying to beat everyone in front of him rather than pass? Yeah, that was something that came up last night, Tom. Jonathan Leko holding on to the ball perhaps a little bit longer. I think both you and Nathan mentioned it last night.
Yeah, and I think Lewis kind of touched on it there as well. It's, I don't know if it's just because the way he plays up top, because when you're out wide, you do tend to try and beat your man and take players on. Whereas when you're up top, it's more about either playing it out wide to your wingers or kind of having a go and getting in the box yourself. So it's frustrating. Look, we know when he first came in under Lee Boyo, he said you never really know what's going to happen with him. And I think there is still an element of that. But unfortunately, unlike last time where he sort of stumbled his way through and ended up scoring more often than not, this time he seems to be stumbling himself into defenders too often. And again, I wonder, it goes back to the email from Rachel and what I said a little bit earlier, whether they're tired or not. I think, wonder whether some rotation is needed for a player like him as well, just to take him out the firing line for a bit, because something isn't clicking with him at the moment, whatever it is.
Indeed. Right, Simon Parrott says, it's very dangerous for a manager to remain loyal to players when they're on a losing run. I'm sure those not in the team must wonder what they need to do to get into the first 11. It's time to freshen things up and use the squad better. Southern Comfort said, it looked initially like a terrible decision, the disallowed goal, but on several watches I can see why it was disallowed, however very harsh, and I personally would have let the goal stand. Spenny says, it was a poor performance all round. Need Jacko to be honest about Stockley's injury, and we need a striker in this window. Phil says, I don't understand how we failed to win anything in the air yesterday, both in attack and defence. And the sooner we can get Jake Forster-Caskey on set pieces, the better. There's no consistency or quality. He will also create chances and give 100%. Even if he has a bad game, he always gives his all. And Stuart says, my biggest concern in these is the very little invention in the middle of the park. So lack of real goal-scoring opportunities is a knock-on effect. Becomes a squad a lack of confidence throughout the squad. Yeah, I guess the majority of what we were creating yesterday obviously came down the wings, which is a little bit how we're set up. But I mean, the likes of Gilby and, you know, Lee, who I've mentioned, I thought he played quite well on Sunday, but I did mention that's the first time I felt like I've been saying that for a while. You know, for all he offered early on in his Charlton career, his you know, he's not being the creative spark at the moment that we want him to be, and that's obviously a problem, Lewis.
Yeah, it is. It's a concern because when he came in, he made immediate impact and was a player that was performing well, and at the time in a very, you know, poor side, to be honest, under Nigel. We weren't playing well whatsoever, but he kind of stood out. One thing that's disappointed me the most recently has really been the set-piece delivery, because I know we probably spoke about it after Sunday, but some of the short corners we're taking, you know, I was under the impression Elliot Lee was, his strength really was dead ball situations and set pieces and creating chances from free kicks and corners alike. And I'm not seeing that from him at the moment, you know, and creating chances as well. And I'm not really seeing enough. And we got quite a bit, as you say, we got quite a bit of action down either side yesterday and getting the ball in the box, but it doesn't seem to be anybody in there that can get the ball in the net. We could have had a couple of goals before they'd even scored yesterday, and it's just, yeah, I don't know what it is with Elliot Lee at the moment. I think maybe he's just having a bit of a dip in form. There's not really anyone pushing that position either to get him out the side. So it's similar to what we had with Albie at the start of the season. You know, he was struggling a little bit playing in that 10, but there wasn't really anybody that could come in and do the job instead. And then Elliot Lee's come in, so maybe we're just seeing a little bit of a dip in form at the moment. But the problem is who do you take him out and who do you put in instead? That's something at the moment we haven't really got the option to do.
Right, Phil says, hi guys, the same group of players that got Adkins the sack have reverted to type. Three defeats on the bounce and back to looking over our shoulders again. Is this the worst team in Charlton Athletic's long history? It's certainly looking that way. Unfortunately, I can't see anything changing. Is Steve Gallen the man to bring the right players in? Has Sandgaard got the money to get us out of this rubbish league? I'm starting to doubt them both. I was contemplating buying a half-year season ticket. I think I've made the right choice not to. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Carl said, it was embarrassing. The only word I could use to sum that one up. We're outplayed and outbattled by a team in the bottom four who have conceded a hatful in the last two games. Where's the team gone that's played so well against Plymouth, Ipswich and Rotherham? We're now looking shaky at the back and clueless when we get to the final third. The likes of DJ, Lecco and Lee are all going backwards. Yes, we're missing Stockley, but the other attacking players need to step up and take the pressure off him for when he is back in the team, and they aren't. None of them look like scoring. We play the ball around the edge of the box looking for a perfect pass. It's not going to happen when we need to be more direct in the final third. Lee is a massive culprit of this. I think he should take a leaf out of Gilby's book, as I do feel that Gilby drives towards goal more than trying the flash stuff that Lee seems to be more focused on. I was also pull Lee off set pieces. Nothing is changing on that front. I'm honestly looking at the relegation zone. We need a few wins to get away from it. At the moment, I don't see where the goals or the wins are coming from, and that's my concern. The season isn't over. We could be dragged back in to a dogfight quite easily with the way we are playing. Imagine this will lead to a big summer of upheaval yet again. We're really seeing now that the summer transfer window and the building of the squad wasn't adequate. Jacko now has time to work out who he does and doesn't want. I'm hoping this is his rock bottom moment, a little bit like Sir Chris and the Dagenham game. Keep up your good work and see you at Cheltenham. Yeah, we'll see you down there, Carl. Yeah, really good email that. Cheers for sending that in. I will play a little bit of audio from Jacko on the transfer window very shortly as well. Not a great deal. I just asked him if there's any updates he's got between now and the end of the week at least. Reg says, we have a clear first choice starting 11 and set up, which on their day are a match for anyone in the league, and we showed it on Sunday for teams in higher league. But the issue is what happens when the starting 11 doesn't fire on all cylinders, or when not all players are available for selection. Our performances when we have to call on replacements expose this. Potentially, you could argue this also leads to complacency among the starting 11. Yeah, similar to a point made in the show already this evening. It says, although I don't really buy this, they have something to prove, whether it's in terms of contract renewals or looking to progress elsewhere. Our season was undermined by the awful start and the fact that the assembled squad that JJ inherited was not his doing. Surely the key now is to obsess less about this transfer window and think longer about next season. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, Tom. Do we... I mean, it was a conversation I was having with someone on the train today, actually, like... I was just throwing names out there, like, because I could ask someone to put on Twitter, would you have someone like Chooks and EK back? And then the conversation I had was, well, do you waste loan money on Chooks when it'd be reasonably expensive, you'd imagine, wages wise, when he's not going to be here next year, when pretty much this season is a write off now?
Yeah, it's a difficult question, and obviously, I think the most important thing is we get these right players in, because as a few people have said, we are looking slightly over our shoulder. For me, I think we have to accept we're going to be at best in this league next year. And I think realistically, we're going to be in this league next year. So if we can make a few sort of astute signings in January, maybe loan to buy options, or maybe even buying players in now on slightly longer contracts, then we might be able to convince people of the longer term project and get them in at this stage and give them half a season where we're kind of writing it off to bed in and get ready for next year and try and hit the ground running. Now, I know that doesn't always work, but as you say, do you really want to blow a load on somebody like Chucks, who isn't the most reliable, you know, can only play certain amounts of games? And if we use Lecco as another example, he's somebody who came back and hasn't quite had the impact that he did last time. So there's no guarantee if you get Chucks in, he's going to score 10, 12 goals between now and the end of the season, unfortunately. For me, you'd be looking more at the sort of the people who are tried and tested, the people who are scoring goals regularly in this division already, maybe even division below that are impressing, and try and bring somebody in that's prepared to sign a 2 or 3 year deal with a view to getting us up into the Championship, because I just don't know if those short-termers are really going to do enough, and particularly if we get dragged into a nasty relegation battle towards the end of the season, which, as I said, I don't think we're going to do. But if you do, you can see, well, we've seen in the past, loan players don't always have their heart in it at that stage in the season, and that could be important.
Interesting stuff. Right, Laura says, I think the issue with the team at the moment is that they are lacking motivation. When Jackson was in the caretaker role, they wanted to win to force Thomas to give him the job permanently. When they achieved this, our table position meant playoffs were unlikely, despite making up some ground. So now they're even more unlikely, so the players don't have that extra motivation. It's no coincidence that the one game we've won since Jackson's role was made permanent was in the Pizza Trophy, where there's still a chance of success. And the best performance was against Norwich, although we lost. And there was still a chance of a cup upset and progression. I think they need to find some motivation soon, or we'll be slipping down the table. Yeah, and hopefully that will be the case, Laura. And you'd imagine getting sucked into that relegation dogfight is motivation enough to try and avoid that. But anyway, let's see. Chris, morning chaps. Last night was poor, but not quite as bad as under Nigel Adkins, but not far off. Sloppy, disjointed, poor set pieces in a team that looked drained of confidence once the first goal went in. What's wrong? I don't believe we have a rubbish first 11, like some are saying, but we're short on quality in the squad. I can't work out why at times we have no confidence. JJ has made some improvements, and we're seeing some recurring themes despite three different managers. For me, that puts the focus on the squad quality, the mentality, and the application. Alan says, I thought we did okay until Crewe scored. Like most of the games recently, we had control and of the game. Final third and the passes were going wrong. We weren't testing the goalkeeper. I was at JJ in and still think it was the right appointment, but we need a plan B, or to start having games with different formations. We have a squad full of wingers and players playing out of position. The squad is feeling pretty imbalanced. Yeah, cheers for that. Alan Phil says, it was a shocking performance. I don't understand how we can put in a display like that on Sunday, where we outplay a Premier League team with the exception of a mistake leading to a goal, and then play the next game with two changes as if the players had never met each other or trained in their life. I mean, could you argue, Lewis, that the performance on Sunday took a little bit out of them, maybe? Or is it... Am I being generous there?
Potentially. I mean, I don't think Crewe had played in the build-up to it, so they had a little bit longer, but I think it'd be clutching at straws, really. I think you're looking for consistency. You know, the FA Cup, if we'd have beaten Norwich, it would have been a bonus, really, to try and get a decent tie in the next round. But ideally, you know, our our important aim and our key is getting out of this division. And you have to put in consistent performances. And as the email said, you made two changes and it did feel very disjointed. And that's a massive concern, really.
Yeah, Phil saying that he doesn't accept the often quoted schedule of games as an excuse, as the other teams will have a similar schedule during the season. It says, hoping to make Cheltenham, but due to my wife's long-term illness, I cannot leave her alone, unable to leave her for long periods of time. But hopefully the lads can put Wednesday behind them and get back to the performances they showed under JJ as a caretaker manager. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Hopefully you and your wife will be able to follow the game, at least on Charlton TV, or on you can have updates on Radio London if you want as well. Dominic Richardson says, hi guys, I'm looking for a definitive answer from your wisdom here. Why is it that whenever we have a really nice away or third kit, we never actually play well in it? You got an answer for that, Tom?
I haven't got an answer, but he has got a point. I remember there was the season, I think it was Championship, where we were all in red away. So we had red shirt, red socks, red shorts, and I loved that. And we never seemed to do that well in that kit either. I know there's been a couple of others in recent years as well. So
I don't remember that kit. The one, to be fair, the season we went up under Lee Bowyer, we had this white away kit with the red and black stripes that sort of crisscrossed and then went down. That was one of my favourite kits, and we used to win in that one. So maybe it depends on whether I like the kit or not. That should be how Charlton things do things, based on whether I like it. Right, let's hear some transfer news then. Not a great deal of news, if we're being honest, but I did ask Johnny if there was any likelihood that we might see some bodies coming in before the weekend when we visit Charlton.
Well, it's Wednesday night, and I can't see anything happening before the weekend, though. But we have highlighted targets, we're working on them. I think we need a little bit of help, a little bit of a freshen up, could give us a fresh impetus for the, for the last push of the season. But no real updates as yet.
So, not expecting anything in the short term, Lewis. Clear that we need stuff in the long term. The transfer window, it feels like it's been a bit of a slow burner. I think Benji made the point that if we were to do some real business in this window, it'd be ideal to do it at the start, so then we could have used them in these games. Like there's been three or four games in January already that we've been unable to make anything of. So the fact that we've not done anything yet and we won't do anything before Saturday, are you disappointed? Not surprised, because that's the way it's gone?
I'm disappointed, yeah, because I agree with Benji. I think that we should have been doing the business earlier on to try and sort of steer ourselves out of this, because we've had a couple of games now where we've looked a little bit leggy and tired and not had the options or all the depth to change it up. I think it's pretty obvious that we need options up front, and we haven't addressed that. I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised, because it seems like the common theme of a Charlton January transfer window that we do everything quite late on. But I think in this instance, given the start that we had, found ourselves a little bit of form, a bit of momentum, and now it started to derail again and we're in a position where we haven't got options to change it up, then I'd like to think that we'd have done the business a lot earlier. But it's the targets and it's what we aim for now, because if we want to sign decent players at this level, how are we going to attract them? Because at the moment we're a side that's nailed on out of the playoff race. We're not in a relegation dogfight as such, but we're not a million miles away from being dragged into one. So if you are going to make signings that are going to make a difference now, it's very difficult to attract them given the state of where our season is. So it almost begs whether we leave it and try and finish with what we've got and bring in a few loans and then try and invest heavily in the summer to try and rebuild for the whole season. But our immediate sort of thing that we need to address is trying to turn around what we're doing now and try and not just cement ourselves in this division, but try and sort of claw ourselves up from where we are.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's have a break, and when we come back, we'll start to look ahead to Saturday's trip to Wadham Road to take on Cheltenham.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara, now sends Washington on that right-hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington! Put Charlton 2-0 up, and could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle, but Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Time to look ahead to Cheltenham on Saturday. Not going to be an easy game going to a team sitting above us in the League One table, only by one place and one point. So it's a mid-table six-pointer, if there is such a thing. I did ask Jacko briefly last night just to have a look ahead to the game and the importance of trying to pick his side up as well after a disappointing few weeks.
Yeah, quick turnaround, even quicker than from the weekend, really, because we're a night game and obviously Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, I'm going to have to pick them up, get them ready. We'll be back on the road on Friday, travelling, so that's going to come around really quick. So, yeah, we're going to have to recover. We have to have a think about team selection, who's going to play, who's fresh. Yeah, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Might need a little pick up as well after the last few league games, three defeats in a row.
Yeah, it's not good enough, yeah. And there's another tough game coming up Saturday, so can't keep... Don't want to be stood here again talking about what ifs and chances missed, you know, because these are games we've got to be winning and we're creating enough to win them, but we're not putting them away, and ultimately that's going to be the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting. From Jack, obviously, he knows what's happened recently. Tom hasn't been good enough. He'll need to find, like some people have said, if it's a motivation issue, if it's a personal responsibility issue in front of goal, whatever it is, he'll need to try and find an answer. It's a quick turnaround to try and do that in as well. But just to make sure we're not asking ourselves the question in 2 weeks' time as to whether we're going to be dragged into the relegation dogfight, we need to sort of put the brakes on this little slump as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think anything changes from last Sunday. These are both massively winnable games. And just because we've lost the first one doesn't mean we should now look at the second one as being any tougher. Cheltenham, I don't think they've won since mid to late November. So, yes, they're only a place above us as well. But, you know, they're not on a good run of form. So we have to go there thinking that we can, not necessarily that we will, but that we can get a lot of point, get the 3 points there. And I was looking last night when we were playing, because we've spoken a few times about the fact that we seem to have performed a lot better at home than away. I think we've only got two or three wins away. But actually, I think in the home and away tables, we're about the same. I think we're about 14th, 15th in both. That might have changed following last night. So actually, our away kind of form or results are in keeping with our position in the league. So that's what makes it a little bit more difficult, in that we have maybe struggled a little bit away from home. But we have to go there thinking we can win. And realistically, we should be looking at getting all 3 points. Yes, they're above us in the league. But apart from that, I think, you know, the way we've seen we can play under Jacko, I think we should go there expecting to win. I think the one problem is the same problem we've had for the past few weeks, which is our inability to score goals. And annoyingly, last night when we did, we went and conceded two, as you said a bit earlier. So, yeah, I'm not going to say that we should walk over them, because clearly they're doing all right. But we have to go there expecting to win and wanting to win.
We're not in the position really anymore, Lewis, where we can expect to, you know, where we can be big old Cheltenham in League One expecting to win too many games, because we're not. Yeah, that's just the way it is. But it is Cheltenham, I think, was it 8 games without a win in all competitions are discounted. They lost 4-3 to Wimbledon in the FA Cup. They were beat 5-0 at home by Cambridge. You know, lost 3-1 at Cheltenham, 2-0 at home. I mean, there's some poor results in there. A couple of draws in their last two. They won't have had a midweek game. Their last game last week was a 1-1 draw with Burton. But yeah, so I guess it's going to be like that. We will be facing a team low on confidence, and it's up to us to use what attributes we do have to make sure that we punish a team who is low on confidence, which is also what's been happening to us in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, we've got to go there with a bit of belief and trying to bounce back immediately, because, you know, yes, where our season is now, we might not have a huge amount of motivation to try and get in the top six, because it seems, you know, unbelievably unrealistic now. But we still need to turn out performances, and still need to try and win as many games as possible. And you go into a side that aren't in the best of form. Probably, you know, we're sort of three league wins without a win. They're on 8 in all competitions, as you say. So, you know, they're going to be low on confidence, as are we. So it could be a fairly tasty affair, to be honest, because both sides are going to want to try and get the seasons back on track. I'd fancy us to go there and get a result, because I think we've got a good enough squad to do so. Just for whatever reason at the moment, something's not clicking. The interesting thing will be is if Jacko makes any changes, and if he does, what those changes will be. Because obviously, in terms of options at the moment, we're not massively subscribed in where we can change things up, especially up top where we're struggling to score goals. So it's going to be a hell of an interesting game. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. When we look at this lineup and these changes that people have called for, I mean, Mason, the reason, as we heard from Jacko there, that he wasn't started on the game last night is because of the amount of effort he put in and the fact he was cramping up against Norwich on Sunday. So again, the question will be, well, will he turn around quick enough? Connor Washington's minutes, the idea was they were going to be managed last night, but we weren't in a position to be able to do that, or Jacko decided that he had to continue to play. So there will be a dilemma up top there. If you think about the fact that the likes of Charlie Kirk and, you know, Josh Davison, who could be an opportunity to play up there up top for him, weren't even in the squad last night. It feels like Jacko sort of juggling around trying to find a side at the moment, but not too pleased with some of the balls he's got to work with.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as I said earlier, I think it's that fear that the people coming in maybe can't perform to the same level. Having said that, the players out on the pitch didn't perform very well last night. So I'd love to see Morgan come in for Lee. I'd love to see Lecco go out wide and DJ dropped. I'd like to see Mason go up top alongside Washington. I'd love to see Innes go back into that back three. I'd like quite a few changes just to see what happens and give some of those players a chance. Whether he'll do that, it might seem too risky. It's very easy for me to say that sat on my sofa, but if we lose, I'm not the one who has to go out and face the press, although I do have to come on here and do a show after. But
yeah, speaking to the same person Jacko asked you.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. So yeah, I'd like to see wholesale changes, but it's just, there aren't that many players that he can rotate in, unfortunately. So it's going to be interesting. If he doesn't make changes, it's about getting a tune out of these players again and shaking that defeat off them and making them realise that on their day they can perform.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Dempsey has just sent in a tweet. I think some players just need dropping for a game or two. Under Jacko, the 11 only changes for injury or suspension. Players Likely and Lico aren't having the same effect. Burstow is still a raw talent, but let him have a start. Morgan had some good passes, so maybe a game for him. Yeah, I mean, that's been a recurring theme. He did spray a couple of good balls yesterday, as I said, including the one that led to the disallowed goal. But I mean, Albie's been a massive frustration for me. So are we going to give him another chance to start? We might be forced to, because last couple of weeks in midfield aren't clicking again.
Yeah, I think it's something that we'll probably have to visit, because it would be a roll of the dice. And as we said earlier, you know, playing in the position similar to Elliot Lee, probably, is he gonna come in and do a job? You know, Elliot is not having the best of run at the moment. He could do with maybe a bit of time out of the team, a little bit of an impact to show that, you know, it's competition, isn't it? And competition pushes people that little bit more to try and keep their places. And at the moment, there's very little competition. So it can come a little bit, I don't know, just people just take their foot off the gas, maybe. You know, not saying that Elliot Lee is doing that, but maybe he does need a little bit of something to give him a kick. But, you know, Albie, yeah, he did come on yesterday for a brief spell and looked okay. But I agree with you. I think he's been frustrating the entire season, especially when really I had a lot of high hopes for him this season. Given that number 10 shirt, it felt like he was going to be a real mainstay in the first team and really sort of jump on the scene and make a real impact, but we haven't seen that from him. But maybe giving him an opportunity to come back into the side will give him the motivation he needs to make that impact that we're desperately wanting him to make.
Lovely stuff. Right, I think that's about enough on this week's Big Match Preview. Thanks to all those of you who've tuned in and sent messages into the show as well. We look forward to those of you who are going to seeing you down at Cheltenham. Me and are you going as well, Lewis? I know Tom's going.
I'm not, mate, sadly. No, I can't make this weekend.
Bottled it. He went to America and he's just stopped going to games now. It's disgusting behaviour. Well, me and Tom and Nathan will see you down there. I think Benji might be going as well, so we're all seeing you down. Obviously, Terry will be there. We can't keep the old bugger away. So we look forward to seeing you down there. Like I say, thanks to everyone who tuned in. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens. Don't forget, if you get a chance, to either speak to the likes of Tom or Benji after the game at Cheltenham, give your views on the fans bar section. We haven't done one for a couple of weeks because of various staffing issues, but we'll get back on top of that as well down at Wadham Road. So keep an eye out for those boys. But yeah, Lewis and Tom, thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Cheers, no worries, mate. Cheers.
Absolute pleasure to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.